It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Fade the Chalk Live. I'm your host, Derek Brown of FTNFantasy.com, joined as always with my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And today, we are going to talk trade targets. Before the Week 11 action kicks off, Adam, what is going on, man? How are you doing this morning? How are all the things and the stuff, my friend?
Yeah, the things and the stuff. I'm probably going to go trade for Joe Flacco. You got to go trade for Joe Flacco, right?
That news came across the ticker this morning, and I was like, okay. Good to know.
Turns out Mike White is not the... the next the star quarterback in the NFL. Just
who would have known? I mean,
but yeah, this
well,
is
this
is an interesting time because I know in my league next week's the trade deadline, so I'm assuming a lot of other leagues the same thing, if not sooner, if not like today maybe. So this is the time, man. There's going to be a potential trade you can make that separates you from where you're at now in the standings to potentially winning, and like We're in week 11, but like it's not too late to make trades. Like you can always better your team. You're in first place. Okay, you see a struggling team that there were situations, right, where if you're in first place for the whole year and you see a team that's in the bottom of the standings and had Christian McCaffrey on IR for weeks or another player that's on IR right now, go make a trade and try to give them a piece that they can use right now. And all of a sudden, you're in first place and you have a player that's going to help you down the stretch to make your team even more dominant.
I absolutely agree, man. Like, I talked about it, and now he's back in practice. I talked about CEH last week. There's other players we're going to talk about in today's episode.
But you can also just trade for the number one running back in the Chiefs, too, right?
Oh, Lord. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say?
I'm just joking because every time I open Twitter, it's, is Darrell Williams better than CEH? And it's like, I don't know. I don't even care anymore.
Dude. The CEH hate has gone too far. I'm just gonna say it, man. It's gone way, way too far.
What doesn't help him is because he was the first running back drafted in that draft. And I know we're going off a tangent, but what else is new? He was the first running back drafted in that draft at the end of the first round in a class where he had Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, you know, Cam Akers. Like that doesn't help.
It doesn't help, and people need to let go of it, man. Like, I get it's fun, but good Lord, how many times have we had this conversation? How many times do I get to see what people think are funny or sarcastic tweets? Like, first-round pick at CEH. Like, come on, man. The joke is tired. It's bad. It's the same thing as the old injury jokes for Will Fuller. It's not funny anymore. If you're the person that's laughing the most at the tweet you just put out... Kind of tells you something.
It reminds me of when the Bills played Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, Josh Allen jokes with Josh Allen getting sacked. Like, okay, everybody said that. It's not funny anymore. Like,
it's not funny to begin with. Name jokes are the lamest thing you can do in life. Like, name jokes are the worst small talk you can make.
No, the lamest thing you can do in life is to not put your shopping cart back. That's the lamest thing you can do in life. I hate that so much.
There's a special place in hell for the people that don't put the shopping cart back and the same people that don't re-rack weights in the gym. Same spot in hell.
My favorite is when somebody just like throws it next to the return.
Oh, that's fun. Place. Yeah.
It's like, you're already right there, dude. What are you doing? Take the extra step and you don't even have to escort it in. Just push it in. It'll do the work itself.
We're talking about pet peeves. Why do you think I don't ever park next to one of these things? You know, and I know for you, like, it's why you probably don't ever chain your bike up next to them. Because, I mean, it's dangerous, man. You're going to get scratched up.
My Huffy. You don't want to mess with my Huffy.
Nah, bro.
I'll get grounded.
I mean, it's it's rough times out here for Pfeiffer, man. You can't mess up that sleek new paint job on the Huffy. Oh, good Lord. How do we get here and why are we here? Oh, God. Let me steer us back to some kind of competency here. Before we lean into trade targets for week 11, few things got to mention off the cuff here. One, look, if you're looking to build your bankroll, DFS, all the things and the stuff like we're talking about, you have got to be, and look at the ticker below, people. You got to be signing up for the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package today. You seen the tweets on the timeline. You seen the winnings. David Jones just put out an article about last week's big takedowns and stuff. And it's multiple sports, baby. And that's the kind of action and the exposure you get with this package. NFL, NBA, PGA, MLB, when it comes back. All the things, like we're talking about, projections, access to the optimizer. And this starts at $49 a month for all four sports. You're getting all of these things to help build your bankroll starting today. Use the code FTNTV to get 15% off of every month, not just one, every month. And you talked about staying competitive earlier, Adam, and just staying interested in these leagues, trying to either build for the future or, hell, win your money back, dude. We've talked about this a number of times, and you want the smoke. You want to come face me in the battleground over a top prop? Please do. My picks have not been hitting. I'm just giving away free money to you right now, apparently, is what happens to me on these island games every time lately. If you want to take me on head-to-head, meet me over there at topropsports.com. Enter the code FTN. Get signed up today. I'll meet you in the battleground. I've been putting tweets out. My DMs are open, people. Come face me today over a top prop. Adam, kick us off here, man. First trade candidate that you want to get on your roster for the stretch run, for the playoffs, what have you.
Yeah, so like I feel like on this pod and just in general, I've been trying to trade away Cortland Sutton for months because of the expected return of Jerry Jeudy. And like you can't trade Cortland Sutton now, but you can still trade for Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, it was back in week one before he got hurt. He played the majority of the game, but you could tell he was going to be the number one in this offense. Operating out of the slot around 70% of the time, you know, dominating in the intermediate routes with his great route running and change of direction. And that's been the case since he's been back. I mean, Cortland Sutton's now played four games alongside Jerry Jeudy this season. Four games. He has six catches. That's not per game. That is not six catches per game. That is six total catches, 23 yards per game, a target share of 9.8%. And like 32% of his targets are coming deep down the field. So Jerry Jeudy is getting the work. I want Jerry Jeudy on my team. I understand it's not the greatest passing offense. It's not the highest volume passing offense. But Jerry Jeudy hasn't really popped off since coming back. He's been fine. But like, if you can get Jerry Jeudy as like a wide receiver three, like I'd rather have Jeudy than... obviously I'd rather have Jeudy over Sutton, but I'm trying to think of some other receivers that have been in that like wide receiver three range. Like maybe you trade like Mike Williams and a piece. Maybe you trade Mike Williams and you get Jerry Jeudy and a piece. Like I would, because Williams is obviously struggling right now too. I wouldn't hate that. I'm just a huge fan of Judy's game. I said this from the beginning of the season. Like I always thought he would be the number one, not Cortland Sutton. Sutton's had some good games. He'll probably have a couple more good games because he has that, you know, deep playability. I think he's still second in the NFL in targets of 20 yards or more, but the consistency's not going to be there like it's been with Jerry Jeudy, who they gave, I believe, like an end around last week. Like they're getting the ball in Judy's hands a lot more than any other receiver on this team. And I just think there's the schedule coming up. It's solid. There's a couple of tough matchups. Like the Raiders have been good against receivers, but that's more so against outside receivers, and that's where Sutton's going to be. So, I'm in on Jerry Jeudy, man.
I'm in on Jeudy too. I mean, we talked about him in a few episodes previously, just whether it's been a pickup, a candidate to look for in your leagues and stuff like that. I'm still there, dude. And a lot of these different teams, like you're talking about, with Jeudy operating in the short and intermediate areas of the field, that's where you target a lot of these matchups that he has upcoming. Like with the Raiders, they try to keep everything in front of them. Is that good for Sutton? No. Is that good for deep passing? No. Is that good for Jeudy to get like 8+ targets in the short and intermediate? If he gets into the end zone, then he's probably walking into a wide receiver 2 week. Yes. So, I mean, I like the call, and I'm going to lean this into the running back position, and I'm not going to tell you that there's not a certain amount of risk with trading for this player, because as I'm starting to go through the game by game DFS breakdown, I'm looking at all the things for this week. I noticed, like, as I'm going through teams, there's an interview of last week of James Robinson talking about the game and stuff. And James Robinson got a good bit of work and was pretty damn effective considering the Colts, who are a top three run defense in the NFL right now. James Robinson got 16 touches. He had 82 total yards. No, excuse me. My math is wrong. 84 total yards. Only playing 59% of the snaps. And for a guy that we know that, like, okay, is that probably more likely the floor for him to play like high 50s, low 60% of snaps? Yes. Is that related to the health? Yes. In the interview that I watched with him, he was talking about how he's not 100%. But that's not to say that he can't get to be 100% down the stretch. And if you look at James Robinson, again, we know the upside is there. The Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line is a top 10 run blocking offensive line. Can they pass protect? No. Does that matter for James Robinson? No, again. So I like him as a candidate because we know the upside when he's healthy down the stretch. If he can get that back to that down the stretch, like in the next game or two, this is a guy that you're looking really for the stretch run. And again, I'm talking about there is risk with making this move, but his price is not high right now, Adam. Like James Robinson hasn't popped off for a big game, plus the injuries. You look at the upcoming matchups he has. San Francisco, even this week, they are 27th in explosive run rate allowed. Jacksonville is going to try to run the ball. Then he gets Atlanta. Then he gets the Rams. Not particularly fantastic matchups. But then he gets Tennessee, which is 25th in adjusted line yards. Then he gets Houston. Then he gets the Jets. And then he gets the Patriots. Which, outside of what people think, the hoodie cannot just spray magical dust across the field and take away run games. That's all I heard last week with Cleveland. Let me know how that worked out for you if you didn't start D'Ernest Johnson as a top 10 running back. Like I said last week, James Robinson's got a pretty damn good schedule, man. If he can get healthy, I like him as a stretch run guy. As a guy that what you're having to give up to get him on your roster is not going to equal the possible upside in production. Yes, there is risk. But again, some of that risk is also baked into what you're having to give up to get him. What are your thoughts on James Robinson, Adam? We haven't talked about him in a few weeks, I think.
I don't know if there's really much risk at all. Like, yeah, he's coming off the injury, but it didn't surprise me to see him play, just under 60% of the snaps because he almost didn't play in the game in general. Like, he was very questionable heading into that game.
If anything, you're taking that as a positive, like to say, like, I'm kind of very assured that he's
played 59%. Yeah, and like Carlos Hyde got the quote unquote, I think he got the start, like the opening carry. Then they were like, okay, James Robinson's 57 times better than Carlos Hyde. And like, there was that stretch in the beginning of the season.
It's a very specific number.
No, I rounded it. I rounded it up. like, there was that stretch in the very beginning of the season where Urban Meyer was playing Carlos Hyde a lot. And then took him a couple weeks and he's like, okay, James Robinson is just better. And the snap share went up. The share of running back touches went up. Like, in week six, they had a week seven bye. So in week six, Robinson had 89% of their running back carries. Then they had a bye. Then in week eight, he was off to that great start against Seattle. And he got hurt. Week 9, he missed. And then week 10, obviously, was a little bit limited. So if he's full go, I wouldn't be surprised if in week 11 he gets back up to like 70% of the running back shares. We know he's an immensely talented running back, and the schedule is really good too. And it's not like he hasn't been a factor in the passing game. So, yeah, like James Robinson, I tried to trade for James Robinson a couple weeks ago in the league. There's probably some teams that Robinson missing a couple games, they might have taken a couple losses, and they might be more open to trading him than they would have been, you know, in weeks 4 and 5 and 6.
Well, and the other thing is, considering all these injuries, like, and where people drafted James Robinson, like, even at this point of the season, I think that it's also noteworthy to understand roster constructions, even walking back all the way to the draft, okay, that James Robinson was probably not drafted as an RB2 for people, unless maybe you went 0 RB. So if the running back room has stayed healthy, hell, they might have wide receiver needs, what have you. But James Robinson's probably not in the mix for like their top two running backs, at least at this point. This is assuming health over your fantasy roster, which I know is a big assumption right now. But still, this is also to say that like James Robinson's probably on a lot of different rosters, especially like smaller leagues, Adam. The RB3, is that wrong? I mean, like, people are probably...
Maybe.
Playing... I mean, maybe.
ETN got hurt in the preseason, so Robinson's ADP definitely went up, but... Like, I think there's some teams where he could be, like, the running back three or the flex.
I think it's... I mean, put it this way. It's worth opening the app, looking at your leagues, and this is also... You could trade for him in dynasty formats. If you really, really want to be put over the top in the stretch run, again, talking about there's a lot of risk, especially in dynasty formats with James Robinson. So I would not be like overpaying, but it's noteworthy for all different league formats and types and stuff like that. If you're looking for a guy that has an underrated schedule for the stretch run, I think James Robinson definitely fits the bill. Who's your next guy to trade for here, Adam?
Yeah, and by the way, like just got new Cordarrelle Patterson is a game time decision for Thursday, which is kind of shocking because it sounded like he wasn't even going to play. So that's something to keep an eye on. For me, like there's a lot. Like I think you can trade for both Seattle receivers right now because we know their offense is going to be as bad as it was last week. That's just not going to happen. Russell Wilson's got to get a lot of that rust off. You're just trading for talented players who have been struggling the last couple weeks, but you know they're going to get going. It's just kind of that simple. So Metcalf and Lockett, prime trade candidates before the deadline, I would say. Looking at running backs, it's hard to trade for running backs right now because if somebody has a running back that's healthy or relatively healthy, they're probably going to not want to trade them. So really, it's mostly like receivers for me. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Would you trade for him?
Oh yeah, I put him as a trade candidate for last week. Like
that's why I asked because
I put him on the list, man. Like, tell me this, like considering how sour people are about CEH, why would you not? Like, nobody's going to be asking for a ton for him in return. And like I talked about last week, the schedule is beautiful, dude. Like, they get the Cowboys, you can run on them. They get the Denver Broncos, you can run on them. Then they get the Raiders, you can run on them. You sensing a trend here, Adam? You get the Chargers, you can run on them. The Steelers, they give up big running plays. When you can get to the second level, you can break off big runs against them. Then they get the Bengals, who have been tougher against running backs, and then they close out the season against the Broncos again. Like, outside of that remaining schedule on a team that, yes, I understand that everybody's talking about, oh, the Chiefs are back. And the question that I always ask is, where did they go? I didn't know they left. I mean, I know they look bad, but I wasn't told that they ever left. I mean, good kudos that they're back. Good for them. But with CEH, this is a team that needs to run the ball as well. And I know it's not really sexy and it's not great to stare and like we're on a show right now talking about the need for teams to run the ball. But Kansas City needs
Pete Carroll's on line one, by the way.
Oh, Pete Carroll, you and your quotes, man. Fire that man to the moon.
Speaking of running the ball, here's somebody, and this is a little bit risky, and it's definitely more risky than James Robinson. Miles Sanders got designated for a return today.
Okay.
The last 3 weeks, the Eagles calling runs, 68.3% run rate, highest rate in the NFL by far. And the next closest is New England at 57%. So after weeks and weeks of, where's Miles Sanders? Where's the running game? And it started the first game, Sanders, right before he got hurt. Remember that? He had like 12 snaps and had 8 touches in those first 12 snaps and he got hurt. So it wasn't like, okay, Miles Sanders isn't here. We need to run the ball. It was happening right before he got hurt. The question is, does he get the majority of the work? Jordan Howard has played well. Boston Scott has played well. But we've talked about it a lot. The Eagles' offensive line has been very good in terms of creating yards before contact. Their run blocking has been much better than their pass protection. The Eagles clearly, like Nick Sirianni has said, you know what? I should have been running the ball this whole time. And they're doing, yes, they faced the Chargers last week or 2 weeks ago. But like Denver last week, they've been creating running lanes every single week. The last 3 weeks, Detroit, the Chargers, and Denver. So, I mean, Miles Sanders, if he gets that job fully back or even close to it, we know the talent's there. We know he's been ripping off long plays the last couple of years, and now he can hopefully finally get consistent workload.
What are your thoughts? I'm going to rattle off his schedule real fast because
I know they still have two Washington games, right?
Yep, they have two Washington games. They have two Giants games, too. And they also play the Cowboys in the final week of the season. I mean, yeah, it's really the Giants. The Saints. So. Yeah. And that was my first takeaway with the schedule. They have the Saints, the Giants, the Jets, which are fantastic. Then the
he might just meet value in that Jets game by itself. I mean, it's so crazy how many touchdowns they give up to running back. Like, Matt Breida active for the first time all year. Yeah, just give him two touchdowns. Why not?
I put it out on Twitter, man. I said when everybody thought it was Zach Moss week, it was just really Matt Breida week in disguise.
To be fair, it was all three of them that got in the end zone.
Yeah, to be fair. To be fair, my friend. So, yeah, I don't hate the Miles Sanders call. I will say that his schedule is not glittering, so you're really going to have, for me, you're going to have to get him really on the cheap or as a throw-in
which
in the deal.
You should be able to right now.
You should. I'm not going to say that you don't because he hasn't done anything. He's been hurt, as well as people do have concerns. And only in the year of our Lord, 2021, would people have concerns about Jordan Howard. Is that's really where we're at. Like,
only because he's on the Eagles. Like, if he wasn't on the Eagles, if he was on any other team, it wouldn't be concerning. But he just gets rejuvenated every year with the Eagles, apparently. So,
yeah, I mean, he goes to the Dolphins and he can't even make the squad just to even put cleats on a weekly basis. So, you know, you hate to see it. You really do hate to see Jordan Howard in fantasy. Anyway, moving on. Staying in South Beach though, talking about a wide receiver that I want to target in trades. I want to get Jalen Waddle on my squads, man. Like, I think that the upside is there for him to be a stretch run guy, as well as we know Miami, and regardless of whatever quarterback's going to be under center, hopefully it's Tua for the remainder of the season. I still have a few futures that I'm pinning my hopes to that Tua can hit the over for passing touchdowns. But anyway, that's for another day. With Jalen Waddle, I think that with Miami's offense, we know they can't run the damn ball. Their offensive line is terrible. They're going to pass at a top three rate. Their pace is still top three. Both of these things are fantastic for Jalen Waddle. And if you look at his schedule upcoming, Adam, they get the Jets this week. Michael Carter has been bad in the slot. Then they get Carolina. I just trashed on AJ Boye yesterday. They get the Giants. Darnay Holmes is playing well. They get the Jets again, so they play Carter. Then they get the Saints, which whether or not Gardner Johnson comes back, then it's PJ Williams season, maybe for the rest of the season. Then Tennessee is not good versus the slot, as well as New England, and Miles Bryant is allowing catches basically every single time. And with Tua under center, you look at Jalen Waddle's splits, man. If you head over to FTN Daily, you pull up the splits tool. I mean, they're favorable, my friend. Like, with Tua under center, 9.7 targets. With no Tua, 7.8. His yards go up from 52 to 60. His fantasy points per game go up from 10 to 16. 16? Like, that's wide receiver two territory, people. Like, as a guy who's going to get peppered with targets and an offense, like, you could say whatever you want to about the Dolphins offense. I'm not going to tell you they're going to be elite. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be top five in the NFL. But what Jalen Waddle is going to get is a ton of targets. Like, you look at, since week six, 24% target share. That's not easy to find, people, and it's not easy to trade for a guy that's going to get 7+ targets in a lot of different games on a team that's top three in passing rate, top three in pace. And the only thing that that's pushing people off of it is it's because it's the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. If this was any other sexy team, like if I were to tell you right now, Adam, that like there's a Bills wide receiver out there that is going to get a 24% target share.
He'd already be on my team, to be fair.
To be fair, yes. And you would not be able to trade for a player like Jalen Waddle that has the schedule like this upcoming, that has this type of volume on a team that's going to throw this often. You would not be able to get him. But because of the stink of Miami, you're able to trade for him as a guy that... That type of volume, if he scores the touchdowns down the stretch, Adam, if he gets in the end zone a few times, he's going to have wide receiver 2 weeks. It's just a fact. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mentioned Jalen Waddle on the DFS game-by-game episode pretty much every week because he's always underpriced and he's always in great spots to just get a ton of targets. You look at our advanced receiving stats over at FTN Fantasy, he's been top 10 in first read targets every single week, and going into this week... He's number, I believe, 7. Yeah, 71 first read targets. These are the players in the league with more first read targets than him. Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, and Travis Kelce. That's it. Nobody
Feels
else.
Feels like a good list. Feels like a really good list to be on,
and,
Adam.
And, like, Will Fuller already not going to be expected to play in week 11. Who knows with him? Devontae Parker might not play. With that hamstring just keeps popping up. He's not going to play for a couple weeks at least.
So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they shut him down for the season, man.
Same.
Yeah, like he can't. It has not been right all year, and at this point in the season, and can we say like we might not see him again for the rest of the season? So I'm not. I won't even factor him in, just like you're talking about.
No, I agree. And like, what happens if Jalen Waddle starts to get used down the field more? Because all season he's been bottom five in yards before the catch per reception, so he's been close to the line of scrimmage, and that's given him a nice floor, and that's why he's getting so many targets. But if he starts to get some more downfield work, like, there's a lot to like. Would you rather have like the rest of the season, like Waddle, and I'll just kind of, you know, sandwich in a bunch of these receivers? Tell me if you have like who you prefer, like Jalen Waddle, and then Brandon Cooks. It's like a similar role, but I guess Waddle's in the better offense.
I'll take Waddle.
So Waddle and Cooks, Waddle and Amari Cooper. Like,
oof, I'd take Cooper.
Cooper
on that one.
Cooper's really had like two good games all year.
I know. I still believe in the offense. And if you look if you look at last week, he was the only wide receiver for Dallas to run full time routes. Like, he ran the most routes.
Yeah, but Lamb, they limited Lamb after he had the contusion.
I know. All I'm saying is, we're talking about Amari Cooper, even with the down games. We're talking about Amari Cooper on the Dallas offense versus Jalen Waddle.
That's fair.
I'll still take Cooper.
Two more. This one's tough for me because, you know, I've talked about this player all year. I love him. Jalen Waddle or T. Higgins?
Ooh. Give me T. Higgins. I think the target volume is going to be pretty similar, but Cincinnati's offense, like, dude, I've talked about it numerous times. Joe Burrow is literally this year's Ryan Tannehill when they don't go up pace. Like, they're so, so efficient. I know T hasn't been fantastic, but I think the volume is the same. I actually put the touchdown upside with T Higgins.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick this back to you. Tell me who you would take.
Don't ask
up.
It. If you're asking this player, and I think you are, it's exactly where I was going. So let's see.
I mean, I'm going to kick it back to earlier in the show. Who are you going to take, Jalen Waddle or Jerry Jeudy?
Okay, that was two directions. One, I thought you were going. I would rather have Waddle because it's the age-old less competition for targets. But here's the last one, and I hate that I have to ask this after what we saw to start the season and what we're seeing lately. Jalen Waddle or DJ Moore?
Oh, my Lord, you blasphemous wretch, you.
I don't like it either.
DJ Moore. DJ Moore. I'm going with DJ Moore, man.
Okay. It's close though, right?
Not for me, it's not. I mean, I don't know.
You're not worried about DJ Moore lately?
Look, put it this way. This has to be the floor, right? Like, nobody can play quarterback worse in the NFL. Well, there's maybe a handful of guys.
Flacco's starting this week, so we'll see.
I mean, but look at Sam Darnold's box scores, Adam. Like, can it be really any worse? And DJ Moore is still, I mean, it's not been fantastic, but he's still going to get targets. If Cam, and that's a really, really low bar, but if Cam can play better than Sam Darnold, good Lord, I'm actually saying that. Cam is going to play better than Sam Darnold. Let me be a little bit more affirmative than that. Cam will play better than Sam Darnold, and I think that there are better days ahead for DJ Moore. I mean, even a not 100% Cam in previous seasons, and I know we're going back pretty far, supported a really good DJ Moore in fantasy. So, as a guy that I think that is... Look, Robbie Anderson, I know he scored the touchdown, is still not good. And Terrace Marshall has not done anything this season. It's hurting my heart, but he hasn't.
DJ Moore's lowest targets in a game this year is 7. So, like, he's getting great volume, too. And I already mentioned he's among the league leaders in first three targets. So, I'm still holding out hope for DJ Moore. I talk about this all the time, but there was games, like, 4 or 5 games in a row where Sam Darnold threw for fewer than 210 passing yards. And in a handful of those games, DJ Moore was still getting, like, 60, 70 yards. So, if they can just somehow throw for more yards, which shouldn't be too difficult, DJ Moore should still be fine. But it's an interesting question. McCaffrey has been back. He caught all 10 of his targets last game, so helps the offense move the ball, but it also takes away some targets from DJ Moore.
I'm rolling my eyes because I still the hurt and the pain. Real. Can't talk about CMC. Can't talk about the vultures. Can't talk about the touchdowns. But here I'm talking about the touchdowns. Before we kick this over to players that we're going to trade away before these deadlines creep up, want to get your thoughts on the most traded players heading over to Chris Meany's amazing article. We talk about it every week, Adam, and I know I sound like a broken record, but literally this covers so many different formats. Meany puts a ton of time, a ton of work into this article over at FTN Fantasy. So if you're getting signed up today, you should. You need to head over and look at this article, man. I mean, he's covering dynasty formats. He's covering buys, players you're going to be concerned about, players you're dropping at this point, all kinds of stuff. I want to get your quick thoughts on players, the most traded players in CBS sports leagues right now. A laundry list of guys. Miles Sanders is on here. We've already talked about him. Cordarrelle Patterson, what are your thoughts? Trade for or trade away? We know the injury concerns and stuff like that. This Atlanta offense has not been fantastic. I think he's tough, man. It's the injury versus the scarcity at the position. Where do you sit?
Because it's so weird, because Tom Pelissero tweeted the report yesterday that he's expected he could miss a few weeks, and now he's a game time decision. I think he ends up sitting this week, but the fact that he's even coming close to playing is pretty encouraging. And
I mean, do you think he's really that close to playing, or is this just Atlanta kind of just saucing the airwaves here?
I mean, he's been practicing all week. I didn't think he'd even be practicing with an ankle sprain on a short week. I don't think he's like if I had to guess, and this is pure speculation, obviously, if I had to put it at, percent chance he plays, I put it at like 30. But the fact that, like I said, he's even practicing, I wouldn't mind trading for Patterson. Like he's what makes this offense move, because obviously Calvin Ridley's not there and Kyle Pitts has struggled the last couple weeks. He's getting bracket coverage. He's getting coverage from opposing top corners the last couple weeks. So like they really need Cordarrelle Patterson.
I mean, Arthur Smith just needs to pull his head out of his ass. Like the fact of like Kyle Pitts' usage is what we want, but it's also a detriment to Kyle Pitts right now. Like, as much as they're putting him outside and making him face good outside corners, to me, there's no reason. Like, why are they not just bumping his slot rate up? I mean, who else do you have to throw to in the passing game outside of him and Cordarrelle Patterson? I'm sorry, Olamide Zaccheaus is not it. I'm sorry, Russell Gage is not a thing. They're just not good NFL wide receivers. You can wipe them off the board really easy unless there's, like, below-average corners that are opposite them. So I don't really understand why Atlanta is putting Pitts in the situations that they're putting him in the sense that they're putting him against outside corners, and they easily could just bump up his slot rate and give him easier matchups against, like, what, either nickel corners who are probably way smaller, maybe slower. He has a size advantage over all of those schmoes, or linebackers, and he can out-athlete any of those guys. You know, so I don't really understand what they're doing. I think that, yeah, I probably would be pulling the trigger on Cordarrelle Patterson just because of scarcity at the position, as well as we know the upside and the usage is there when he is healthy. A few other guys to get up in here. DeAndre Hopkins, trade for or trade away? Lots of risk, man. Lots of risk.
I mean, we've talked about him pretty much every trade episode. I didn't have interest trading for him when he was healthy. The guy hasn't been practicing with a hamstring injury. His target share has come way down this year. Not to mention Kyler Murray's not 100%. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, same. You're still going to have to give up probably close to wide receiver one type of price to get him on your team. And right now, considering all the different factors you just laid out, it's just not worth it, man. It's just not. For a team that also, I mean, I'm going to lean into this team whenever we're talking about it. They're playing slow, Adam. Really slow. And they've gone super run heavy, which I'm actually going to fight the consensus on this next player I'm going to bring up. But I got to get your thoughts again before I talk about this guy. AJ Brown, trade for or trade away? I feel like a lot of people would be saying it's an easy trade for considering his target share and stuff. Tennessee's offense, and we talked about this and I trashed on them earlier in the week, they're not the class of the AFC. The offense has been quietly terrible.
I tweeted Ryan yesterday, Tannehill, 4.4 yards per play the last few weeks. Bottom three in the league.
It's bad. And they can't run the ball. I get that Deontay Foreman and everybody wants to talk about him. We even mentioned him on waivers and stuff like that. That doesn't mean that they're going to be good at running the ball. AJ Brown, you going to trade for him or not?
I will, because I think a lot of the reasons their offense hasn't been good the last couple weeks is because they're trying to get Adrian Peterson and Dante Foreman all these carries, and they're trying to like recreate their running game with Derrick. Like, you're not replacing Derrick Henry. Nobody, you can't. It's not possible. Give the ball to your best player. It's AJ Brown. I think they'll start to notice that and realize that maybe starting this week. So I will trade for AJ Brown, but I get the concerns because I talked about it. Their offense, they like their defense and the short fields and the turnovers have bailed and masked how bad their offense has been lately.
Agreed. I think that they're a team that consistently, like, if you look at them on paper, now the last few seasons they've been so ridiculously efficient on offense that it's masked a lot of their woes. This year they're not good, and they're really just sucking out like easy wins, or they're pulling out wins, man. Like, they're not nearly as good of a team as people are propping them up to be. I think AJ Brown is probably a buy. I mean, I agree with you as bad, and as much as I'm trashing on Todd Downing, who is still not good at offensive coordinator, if you want to get this offense back on track, there's been all the talk about, you know, Vrabel kept this guy and he promoted this guy and stuff. Todd Downing is not amongst those good moves that Vrabel and this team made as far as keeping people in-house. If you want to get this offense back on track, fire Downing. Get another offensive coordinator for next season, because he's not good, people. Sorry, just a fact. Leading us into players to trade away. Talked about the Arizona Cardinals offense. It is banged up. There are injuries galore. They are going slow. They are going more run-heavy, which should, theoretically, and it's pushing a lot of people to talk about why James Conner is a buy in fantasy. I'm just not there, Adam. I'm not. And this is not because, no, I don't dislike touchdowns. No, I like touchdowns. I like fantasy points. I like all those different things. But with James Conner, I think that if the touchdowns go other places, whether it's the passing game or other running backs, Chase Edmonds comes back, Eno Benjamin becomes a bigger factor in this offense. Hell, even Kyler Murray plays and he gets any rushing scores. If any of those things come to fruition, James Conner's fantasy value is going to plummet. And I understand Chase Edmonds is still going to be out for a few more weeks. This is not me being reactionary based off he had a stinker of a game last week. That's not it at all, man. I'm looking at James Conner. He is 10th in red zone opportunities. He's 11th in carries. Those are really, really good things. Now let's flip the page and talk about all the reasons why he's bad this year. He is 44th in yards created per touch. He is outside the top 20 in yards per touch, breakaway run rate, and juke rate. He is literally one of the most inefficient running backs in the NFL on a per-touch basis. The only thing holding up his fantasy value right now is somewhat volume while Edmonds is out, and number two, the touchdowns. If the touchdowns don't keep coming at the rate they are, and yes, people could talk about Kenyon Drake, and could they? Yes, they could. They could. But you also look at his schedule, Adam. It's not pretty, dude. Like, you got Seattle, who is 7th in second level, 11th in open field yards. Then they get Chicago. You could run on Chicago. The Rams are 8th in adjusted line yards allowed. Then they get Detroit. Okay, Detroit is a fantastic matchup, but maybe Chase Edmonds is back. Maybe Eno Benjamin factors into this backfield. Those are unknowns we don't know at this point. And again, it could be a detriment to James Conner. Then they get Indy. Then they get Dallas. You can run a little bit on Dallas, but then they get Seattle. Out of all of those matchups, for the rest of the season, you have Chicago and Detroit are glaring as basically like the target matchups for James Conner. And it's sandwiched around a lot of other games where I'm like, oof. I mean, if James Conner doesn't get in the end zone, is he a top 24 running back? What do they do with Eno Benjamin? Kyler Murray is also banged up, so if he's not healthy for the rest of the season, okay, fine. Maybe they ride James Conner, but this offense is not going to be in scoring opportunities nearly as often with Colt McCoy or anybody else, Strevler season, under center, if Lord help us if McCoy were to go out. So I think that there's a lot of risk that holding James Conner on your team presents. I think that he can get you a lot back in a trade. Like, for me, if you could trade him and get like a wide receiver too, and maybe people are hurting for running backs right now, Adam. And if James Conner is viewed as like this top 15 running back, this RB1 in some formats, if people are putting that type of price or that type of label on him, yes, I will absolutely ship him off. I will do it in a heartbeat. For a wide receiver too, a high-end wide receiver too, or a guy that I think that has that type of upside down the stretch? What are your thoughts on Connor?
I do think it's risky because he just keeps scoring. And like, even when Kyler's been there, Kyler hasn't been running as much. And we know when Kyler's either injured or coming off an injury, he doesn't run as well. So it's very possible that he doesn't run as much when he comes back. And Connor's clearly been the goal line running back, and this is still going to be a good offense once they get all their pieces back. But I do agree, like, this is a time, like, even in the worst possible scenario last week when they were getting blown out, Connor still found the end zone. So I think his value is at its peak right now, especially with Edmonds on IR. So I don't think I'm in the boat of, like, get him off your team now, but definitely, like, you know, field some offers before the deadline to see if a team that's desperate for running backs would give you, I don't know, you mentioned, like, a high-end wide receiver too, so I'm trying to think of receivers in that, like a CeeDee Lamb. Like, would you do that?
Oh, yeah. I would take CeeDee easily. Like,
okay. So, like, easily, in that range, though, those receivers in that range, like CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Mike Williams used to be in that range. I don't know how we feel about him now. Same with DJ Moore.
DJ Moore is interesting. Do you think you could get DJ Moore plus?
It's possible. DJ Moore has been so bad the last couple weeks. It's very possible. Yeah. Like, DJ Moore and, I don't know, like a decent running back.
Would you make this trade? Would you trade? And I don't usually do same positional trades. A lot of times I'm targeting wide receivers, or just depends. But would you take, for a guy that we talked about earlier in the episode, would you take James Conner? Or not James Conner. Would you take James Robinson plus for James Conner?
Yes.
Okay, same. That's kind of where I sit, man. All right, dude, before we get up out of here, close us out here. Guy, you're getting off your rosters, trading away, doing it today, not yesterday, but today.
I told a handful of people to not play Antonio Gibson against the best run defense in the NFL the last 3 years last week. Sorry, I did. He got lucky. He scored a 1 yard touchdown off a terrible pass interference call that got him down to the one. And then his second touchdown came on, first of all, it was the right call by Washington. They were up by, what, four? And there was like 20, 25 seconds left. It was fourth and goal from the one or two. They could have kicked the field goal, went up by seven or whatever, and then kicked the ball off to Brady, gave him 20 seconds from about the 30-yard line or whatever. But they made the right decision to go for the touchdown to end the game. And at worst, if you don't get it, Brady's got the ball with no timeouts, 20 seconds at his own 1 yard line. Gibson scored, which obviously it's good. So we got two touchdowns, but he still only had 60 yards on 24 carries. Yes, the volume was great, and it was good to see him not suffer any setbacks or anything. But I'm still not 100% sold that the shin injury is past him. And, like, that game didn't go how we expected to. That the Washington football team was ahead the whole time. We know when they get in bad game scripts, McKissick is getting involved and Gibson's not getting targets. The schedule, like, there's a couple good matchups. Like, Vegas is in there. Philadelphia's been better against the run the last couple weeks. Dallas is in there, which I don't even know if that's a great matchup. Yes, you can run on Dallas, but is Washington going to be able to keep up offensively with Dallas? So
some pretty good matchups here, Adam. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right,
right
now.
It's, but here's the thing.
Carolina, Seattle.
Carolina, I don't think Carolina's a good matchup with Shaq Thompson back.
They've given up explosive runs. Now, there's a fair conversation to be had about, like, okay, well, considering Washington's offensive line, Gibson's health, all that kind of stuff, whether he can get to the second level. But after that, they get Seattle, the Raiders, Dallas, Philly twice, Dallas again, and the Giants to close it out. I mean, there's some good matchups in there.
It's solid, but here's my thinking, and it ties into what we talked about. Mm-hmm. I would rather have James Robinson. I think that's a move you can possibly make. I think I'd rather have James Conner too. Like, I just, like, if Gibson doesn't score from a yard out twice off, in my opinion, some fortunate events going his way.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's brutal.
Connor's
in the same boat a lot because he gets a lot of touchdowns. And, like, it's interesting because when Edmonds left, he got hurt in the San Francisco game, right?
I'd have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure you're right on that, though. Yep.
And then Connor got a bunch of passing game work. Last game, we couldn't really see because, like, that game got so out of hand, Cardinals pretty much gave up. So, like, I would like to see this week, if the game's competitive or whatever, and if Kyler plays or not, if Connor still has somewhat of a pass catching role that he had in that San Francisco game. Because if that happens, then I definitely prefer Connor over Gibson, because we know the passing game work has not been there for him. So I'm just not totally convinced that Gibson's back as like a top 12 running back.
Yeah, I look, I can't push back too hard. I mean, I've talked about Gibson in previous weeks, and we've discussed him on this podcast as far as like being a trade away guy. So I think the risk is definitely there, man. I think the shin, put it this way, I would not be surprised if you were to tell me that a report comes out tomorrow that Antonio Gibson is out for the rest of the season, or he's going to be put on the IR for the next 3 weeks based off the shin injury. That would not shock me. I'm not hoping for that. I don't want that. I don't want that for Antonio Gibson. I don't want that for anybody in fantasy. But that's the type of risk for a guy that's been playing on one leg for basically most of the freaking season, Adam, is that every single week we're like one bad hit, one unfortunate turn, twist away from maybe this sidelines him for a while, because he's walking a tightrope right now. He really, really is with the shin injury. It requires rest. They don't have the ability to give him that type of rest, at least to heal this properly. So it's going to impair, one, his effectiveness, and two, his outlook for the rest of the season. And despite, like, you know, I'm giving you pushback on the schedule, and the schedule is pretty good, man, but there is a certain amount of risk that you're incurring. There's a certain amount of risk that you're incurring with a lot of these players at this point of the season. Like, nobody's perfectly healthy. Everybody's banged up. We see this across the news all day, every day, about players missing practice, not even factoring in anything with COVID and stuff. So, yes, there's a lot of risk with Antonio Gibson. So, I don't hate trading him away. It depends on what you're getting in return. And, yes,
you trade Gibson right now and you get Cordell Patterson. You're making that move?
Oof.
I am. Well, let me rephrase that. If I need somebody this week, you probably don't. But just in hindsight, right? Assume health for both players.
Yeah, but I feel like even with Patterson's sprain, I mean, maybe I'm just being a little bit too pessimistic, considering that he's already practicing and things of that nature.
I just don't trust teams, man.
I don't trust teams.
Well, this is the same team that didn't even mention that he was hurt in the post-game press conference after the game.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even acknowledge it.
They lie. They lie all the time. They lie in the injury reports. They lie in the press conferences. They lie. Basically, they could take a guy off the injury report, and he could still be banged up, and you could see it in the effectiveness or the snaps or what have you. I was told Cole Beasley was pretty much good to go. That was not the case last week. So just take all this stuff with a grain of salt. Yes, can we be right in a lot of our assumptions, or at least trying to read the tea leaves? Can we also be wrong and the teams don't give us the full, you know, look behind the curtain? That's absolutely possible too, man. So I'm on the fence. For me, I probably actually lean Gibson over Patterson, only because I am a little more concerned about him being more banged up than what this team is telling us right now. I feel like they're posturing really hard that he could play after... The first reports were really pessimistic coming out about him. And I'm taking this with a grain of salt. Like, I'm more on the side of maybe this is more of a thing than maybe we're hearing about. At least, again, trying to parse through all these headlines and what have you and stuff. But thank you to everybody for tuning in for this episode for Fade the Chalk. All these trade candidates, be making moves in your leagues. And look, a trade deadline is approaching really, really quick, people. After next week is going to be our final week doing this episode for trade candidates. And that's, I'm going to say this with a caveat, as a redraft episode. We're going to keep this thing going for the rest of the season. We're just going to flip the script and move it over to Dynasty, people. Because look, your trade deadlines might be closed in a lot of different formats, and redraft coming up after the next week. But in Dynasty, it's always trade season, people. You do have some Dynasty leagues that close them whenever the playoffs get here and stuff, and that's fine. But there are also some that keep it open, and we are going to help those people out. We're going to help people out for the rest of the season, making moves in your Dynasty squads, how you're either fortifying for the stretch run or players to pick up that are going to help you all the time to take down the titles. And Dynasty, I think it's absolutely imperative that you're always having that roster churn. So for Adam and I, we're out of here. Good luck to everybody in your leagues. Good luck trading. Adam's going to be back for the DFS Game by Game and other episodes later this week. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.